Praise God.
We're going to start a series on Gideon. Mighty man of valor. Gideon. And it's not going to be consecutive because I'm going to give Brother Glenn some time in there. But we're going to go for several weeks about Gideon. And I've been also doing some research on habits. We're getting into the fall, and as we approach the first of the year, people always want to do a little better next year. A while back, I preached about heart issues.
Yes.
And those were hard messages, but messages we need. And I've focused in on some habits that we allow that are anything but godly. And as the year closes out, we're going to look at those things and talk about them, and I'll give you steps on breaking those habits.
Praise Amen.
God. Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God.
One of the worst ones is pride.
Yep.
Pride.
Yep.
And that's probably the first one we'll look at. Because it affects everything else in your life. Pride. I just wanted to say that before Brother Glenn comes up here. Because I don't feel like I've had enough time to talk to y'all. But I just thank the Lord for these last couple months that Bonnie's been off from leading worship. And we've just sat back and put our feet up a little bit and got some things done around the house and different things. But we'll be back. As Arnold says, I'll be back. So I love you, and Brother Glenn's going to come. You got an interesting title on the board out here.
Yes, yeah. I'll bet.
I'll let him declare what that means, but I'm looking forward to figuring it out. Amen.
We love you too.
Thanks,
Pastor.
Brother.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's so good to see everyone here this morning. You know, as I look around this room, which by the way seems to be heavily leaning toward this side, I feel like I should be standing over here maybe.
You know. That's a fact, but
Yeah, it's like, you know, the front door's right there. Yeah. But as I look around this room, I just see testimony after testimony after testimony of the saving and delivering and healing power of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
You know, nearly everyone here, you know, has a recent testimony where God has just worked mightily in their lives and has just done a mighty work. And we're just going to continue to be in prayer for those who are still being afflicted, those who are still being oppressed, that the Lord will do the same mighty work in their lives that Hallelujah. He did in y'all's and Amen. Allowed y'all to be here today. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
And Brother Jerry, I just want you to know that it is a privilege, sir, to be able to support you. And I know I speak for everyone here. There are it takes a lot of people and a lot of preparation to provide a church service or to conduct a church service and to tend to the affairs of the church. Many of those people you never even see. And I wouldn't begin to try to name them because I'm sure I would leave somebody out. But there are many people who work on behalf of this church that we never even see. They don't expect a lot of thanks, don't expect a lot of accolades. They just do it because they love the Lord, they love their pastor. You know, I'm reminded of the Bible scripture, you know, it talks about the children of Israel were at war and Moses was standing on top of the hill and he was raising his hands so that all the troops down below could see him standing there with his hands raised, and he was providing inspiration and encouragement to the troops on the battlefield. But after a while his arms got tired and they started to droop. Mm-hmm. And scripture says that as his arms started to droop, the children of Israel started losing the battle. They started losing hope. The battle wasn't going well. But Moses was getting tired. And so he had two helpers, Aaron and Hur, who saw this. Moses didn't ask them to do this. They saw the need and they rose up to meet the need.
Amen.
And God calls each one of us to do the same thing. Don't expect to be told what needs to be done. Look around and see what needs to be done.
Yes. Yes.
And when Aaron and Hur saw Moses' strength failing and his arms drooping, they ran up to him, and one got under one arm and one got under the other, and they held up Moses' arms for him when he was too weak to do it himself.
Thank you, Lord.
And when they did that, the Israelites started winning the battle. They defeated the enemy, and victory was theirs.
Amen.
And so, brothers and sisters, this is not my message for today, but there is a lesson in this for us.
Yes, glory to God.
That it takes more than just the pastor.
Yes. Yes.
To have victory, and have church. So we just Brother Jerry again, we're just all, myself and many others are just so humbled and honored and privileged to support you, and we're glad to do that.
Yes, thank you.
But we certainly we certainly are looking forward and glad to hear from you again next week. So, as several of you have commented, the title of today's message is kind of enigmatic. The title of this message is From Mommy to the Mailbox. From Mommy to the Mailbox. And hopefully as I go on, the reason behind that title will become clear. And this morning I'd like to begin by reading from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And today I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Very familiar scripture. I don't think that's it, Susie.
I don't think that's it.
There we go. All right. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Next verse. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the opportunity and the privilege of coming into your house to worship you and to learn of your ways. Thank you for sending us the Helper and the Comforter, your Holy Spirit, who offers us peace and comfort and even joy in every situation. Because you live, we can face tomorrow.
Yes.
And because you live, all fear is gone. You know our lives from beginning to end, and we can walk boldly and confidently through life, knowing that you are guiding us and watching over us.
Hallelujah.
Use this imperfect vessel to speak words of encouragement to your people today, and it's in the precious name of Jesus that I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I want to show you something from the comics that I ran across the other day. As some of you may know, I get most of my spiritual inspiration for these messages from the comics. And it may be kind of small and hard to see, especially for some of you in the back, but I think I can describe it to you all right. This is from a comic called The Family Circus. And in this comic, we see little 7-year-old Billy standing in front of his mother at home, down here in the corner. Little Billy standing next to his mother. And Billy's mother hands him some envelopes and says to him, "Quick, Billy, run these envelopes out to the mailbox. They need to be sent today." So Billy takes the envelopes, but instead of just turning around and walking straight out the front door, he decides to take the long way around. He takes the envelopes from his mother, and then he goes into the kitchen to see what's in the refrigerator. Then he goes over to the sink and turns on the kitchen faucet just to watch the water run. Then he goes into the living room and jumps on the sofa a few times. He makes his way into the dining room and crawls around under the dining room table. He goes into another room to check out what his little brother's watching on TV. He finds a chair and an ottoman to bounce on for a while, and then he climbs into the baby's playpen to play with the baby. Then he gets out of the playpen and makes a few laps around the dog who's lying on the floor. He finally goes out the front door, but then he finds a couple of hedges to jump over, and he twirls around the street light a couple of times. Then he finally makes it out to the mailbox just as the mailman is leaving. And Billy turns around and looks back toward the house, and he hollers at his mom and he says, "You're too late, Mommy, we just missed him."
Right.
For most of us, like little Billy, life is not a straight and easy path from point A to point B. Life is not smooth sailing with no obstacles, no impediments, no struggles, no trials in between. More often than not, the path through life is full of twists and turns and unexpected surprises. Sometimes those surprises are good, sometimes those surprises are very unpleasant. Where we are today and where we'll be tomorrow is the result of many things. It's the result of the good choices that we've made in life, as well as the bad choices that we've made in life. Where we are today can also be the result of circumstances that have been completely beyond our control. Circumstances that caused our lives to suddenly and abruptly change course in ways we never could have foreseen. The sudden loss of a job, a divorce, the sudden passing of a spouse or a loved one, unexpected financial expenses or serious health issues. Any of these things can cause our lives to change in an instant, can't they?
Yes.
One minute things are routine and normal, and the next minute everything has changed, and suddenly we find ourselves on a completely different path than the one we were on. Our lives can jump the tracks, and suddenly we find ourselves in very unfamiliar territory, leaving us lost, confused, and maybe even a little angry at God. But brothers and sisters, nothing catches God by surprise.
Amen. That's right.
And his eternal plan for your life hasn't changed.
That's right.
He knew the things we would get right before we ever did them. He knew the mistakes we would make before we ever made them. And he knew all the things that were going to happen to us, both good and bad, before they ever happened. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. First, Psalm 139, verse 16. Psalm 139, verse 16. "You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. And now let's look at another very familiar scripture, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, Amen. To give you a future and a hope.
Amen.
As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, most of us have a sincere desire to follow God, don't we? If I were to ask for a show of hands, I'm not going to, but if I were to ask for a show of hands, how many of us desire to follow God? I suspect every hand in this room would go up. We should want to follow God. But sometimes the path that God wants us to take isn't clear. Sometimes He doesn't reveal His entire plan to us at one time.
That's right.
Sometimes He reveals it to us a little bit at a time, and we have to trust Him for what we don't know and can't see.
Yes.
Yeah.
Other times, we do know perfectly well what God's plan is for our lives, but we choose not to do it. Like Jonah, when God told him to go to Nineveh and preach to the people there. But as faithful followers of Jesus Christ, every morning when we look in the mirror, we should say to ourselves, just as Jesus did, Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God. God knows the mistakes we've made in the past and how they've affected the course of our lives. He also knows that we may yet make mistakes in the future. But for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose, He can still cause all things to work together for good.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Thank you,
as imperfect as we are, He can still use us to fulfill His purpose in the earth.
Amen.
Praise God. He is patient and merciful and loving toward us even when we leave the path. But if we'll just have a heart that's focused on Him, He is faithful to guide us back to the path He has laid before us. Amen. Little Billy finally got to the mailbox.
Amen.
And God will make sure we get to the destination He has ordained for our lives too.
Yes.
Now, by the time Billy got to the mailbox, the mailman had already left. But we, brothers and sisters, we can have confidence that God isn't going to leave us behind or forsake us. In spite of our wanderings, if we'll just do our best with sincere hearts to trust God and not depend on our own understanding,
Amen.
Then He promises to show us the path to take.
Amen.
And when we reach the end of our journey, He will be there at our destination waiting for us.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
As Christians, we have an advantage over those who don't know God and have no hope. The atheist will tell you that there is no God, that the only reason we're here is because the right chemicals in the ooze just happened to mix together in just the right way. They'll tell you that we live in a cold, uncaring, and indifferent universe, and that there's nothing after death but oblivion. What a sad, bleak, dreary outlook on life. Who would want to live like that?
Amen.
But in Christ, brothers and sisters, we can have hope and confidence and security.
Hallelujah.
We can experience love and joy and peace that passes all understanding. We can go through life secure in the knowledge that there's a God who loves us and watches over us and guides our steps in this life and gives us the promise of eternal life with Him forevermore.
Glory, hallelujah.
When we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior and decided to follow Him, He set our feet on a path and He gave us a vision and a purpose and a reason for living. He equipped us with the gifts of the Spirit and every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Through His Word and His Holy Spirit who lives within us, He has given us a future and a hope.
Amen.
Now sometimes it seems like the fulfillment of that vision is slow in coming and that it's frequently interrupted by obstacles and adversity in our path. But it's all part of God's plan, and we can be confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work Amen. In us will complete it until the day of Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
Yes, Amen.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
All God asks and it's such a small thing, is that we just trust Him and wait patiently and realize that His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and His timing is not always our timing.
That's it.
I'd like for us now to look at the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Habakkuk, chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. These are the words of God to the prophet Habakkuk. The vision is for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Verse 4. Look at the proud. They trust in themselves, and their lives are crooked. But the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God.
Amen.
There it is.
If the vision that God has given you for your life is not coming to pass as quickly as you think it should, it could be that it's just not quite time yet. It's not that you're doing anything wrong. It's not that God is slack in keeping His promise. It's just that He sees the world from a much larger perspective than we do. And He's aware of things that we're not even aware of. All we have to do is trust Him. If it seems like obstacles are being placed in your path, or God is closing doors that you think should be open, maybe it's because you're not ready for that door to be opened. And He wants to mature you and build your character and teach you some things first. Or maybe He's still doing a work in the hearts of the people that He's about to bring into your life, and their hearts aren't ready yet. Either way, all you have to do is trust God. I'd like to share with you now a quotation from Watchman Nee, who summed up what I just said very well, I think. So Susie, if you could put up that slide there. Watchman Nee said this: our attitude should be, God showed me His will, but I am perfectly prepared to be contradicted, limited, checked if need be, and to abide God's time. I must submit myself to His will, and I have to trust Him to bring His will to pass through it all. It is not necessary for me to force the issue. I can safely entrust it to Him. In his book, What Shall This Man Do?, Watchman Nee goes on to provide this illustration. When I was a young man at college in Fuzhou, God showed me I was to go for my vacation to an island which was infested with pirates to preach the gospel. It was a step of faith, and it required quite a struggle for me to be willing to do so. I visited the island and found the people willing, and after much difficulty, I rented a house, got it repaired, and had everything ready. 100 of the brethren were praying for me, and many had also given money toward the expenses. All this time, my parents had said nothing. And then 5 days before I was to go, and when I was already packed up, they suddenly stepped in and forbade me from going. The house was ready, the money was spent, the will of God was burning in my heart. What was I to do? My parents, who were God-fearing folk, said no. I was still a student, and God said, honor thy father and thy mother. I sought light from God, and God said to me, yes, that plan is indeed my will, but it is never my intention that you should bring that will to pass by violence. Wait, and I will work out my will. It is right for you to submit to your parents. In God's time, the way to that island was opened, and His will that souls there should be won came wonderfully to pass. But this experience had taught me an important lesson. If a thing is revealed in the Word of God, we dare not cast it aside. We have to submit. If the written Word of God honor thy father and thy mother, cuts across his will, we must wait for him to bring his will to pass. He needs no help to do so. God is seeking to show us that we do not need to push. Self so easily steps in to do the will of God, but God has his time and he will accomplish it in his own way.
Yes. Amen. Amen. That's
right. Brothers and sisters, when God closes a door, we have two choices. We can do what our flesh wants and try to kick the door down and force the vision to be fulfilled through our own strengths and abilities. This approach usually ends in failure and disaster.
Yes.
The other choice is to trust God and not to lean on our own understanding and allow him to build our character and our faith as we patiently wait for him to accomplish the vision in his timing and by his power. If we walk by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and if we seek after him with all our heart, and if we worship him in spirit and in truth, then it is only natural that he will give us a vision and a desire to do something for his kingdom. When he does that, we might naturally assume that because the vision came from him, he intends to fulfill it immediately and quickly and without any complications. And that's because in our modern American culture, we have become accustomed to instant gratification. The belief that we should be able to have whatever we desire and that we should be able to have it immediately. But when our desires are not met immediately, we begin to doubt and we become impatient, frustrated, and angry. Those are all negative qualities that God wants to purge out of our lives, and that's why he sometimes makes us wait, so that he can replace doubt with faith, impatience with patience, frustration with peace and contentment, and anger with joy, even in the most trying circumstances.
Hallelujah.
I'd like for us now to look at an example of this in the Bible. This is an example of how God birthed a vision in someone's life and then allowed every imaginable obstacle to hinder that vision and make it seem impossible for the vision to be fulfilled until at just the right time God showed himself mighty and fulfilled the vision in his own power.
Yes.
And that example is in the life of Joseph. The life of Joseph is covered in the last 14 chapters of the book of Genesis. Now, obviously, we're not going to take time today to go through all 14 chapters. Please try to hide your disappointment. But I would like to hit just a few of the high points and the low points of Joseph's life. If we follow the arc of Joseph's life, we see that it consists of four distinct stages. First, when Joseph was about 17 years old, God gave him a vision for his life that he would someday be a great ruler and that many people, including his own father, mother, and brothers, would bow down to him. When Joseph shared this vision with his brothers, not only did they not bow down to him, they threw him into a pit and sold him into slavery. This was the second stage of Joseph's life. The third stage of Joseph's life was when he found favor as a slave in Potiphar's household and was put in charge of the entire household. That is, until he was framed by Potiphar's wife, who falsely accused him of rape and had him thrown into prison. And the fourth stage of Joseph's life, just when it seemed that the vision was completely out of reach and maybe never really existed to begin with, was when God fulfilled the vision by miraculously releasing Joseph from prison and exalting him to become second in command of all Egypt, which put Joseph in a position where he was able to save the entire nation and his own family from starvation during a terrible famine.
Hallelujah.
But what I want you to see here is that even during the darkest days and the lowest points of Joseph's life, he never lost sight of the vision that God had given him. Amen. He kept that vision in front of him, and he was patient, and he trusted God, and he never doubted God's ability to fulfill the vision once the time was right. So now I'd like for us to look at these stages of Joseph's life in a little more detail, beginning in Genesis chapter 37, verses 5 through 8. And we're going to spend the next few minutes in Genesis if you want to turn there in your Bibles. Genesis 37, verses 5 through 8. And this is when Joseph was 17 years old. One night Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. "Listen to this dream," he said. "We were out in the field tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly my bundle stood up and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine." His brothers responded, "So you think you will be our king, do you? Do you actually think you will reign over us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way he talked about them. In this passage, God gave birth to a vision in Joseph's life. A vision that Joseph would someday be raised to a position where he would have authority over all of his brothers and even his father and mother. Now, I want you to notice that God didn't give Joseph the whole picture. God did not tell Joseph why he was going to be placed in that position of authority, only that it would happen.
Amen.
God doesn't always feel obligated to let us in on the whole plan. Our responsibility is just to be faithful with the peace that he gives us. God gave Joseph a piece of the plan, and it would be up to Joseph to discover for himself what God's purpose was and what he was supposed to do with the vision that had been entrusted to him. After Joseph was sold into slavery, it would be at least another 20 years before he saw his family again. 13 of those years would be spent in slavery and false imprisonment. What would that do to him? Would he become bitter and angry toward his brothers? Would he seek revenge? Or would he recognize that he was brought down that path by God for a reason, and that it was all part of God's plan so that many people might be saved? Now, after Joseph shared his vision with his brothers, his life took a dramatic and unforeseen turn, one that made it look like the vision that God had given him was dead on arrival and would never come to pass. Now, you think you have drama in your family? Think about this. Joseph's 11 brothers hated him so much that they threw him down a well, sold him into slavery for 20 pieces of silver, ripped his clothes off, soaked them in animal blood, then lied to their father by telling him that Joseph had been killed by wild animals. What a lovely family.
Yeah. Such lovely love.
So Joseph was carried off to the land of Egypt as a slave, and he began serving in the household of an Egyptian military officer named Potiphar. The vision hadn't come to pass yet, not by a long shot. No one was bowing down to Joseph. He was bowing down to others. But even in the midst of these adverse circumstances, Joseph realized that God was at work in his life, that some larger plan was unfolding, and that God's blessing was on the way.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So instead of becoming filled with bitterness and resentment and a desire for revenge, Joseph learned to be content in his changed circumstances and to serve his master Potiphar well and to bide his time until God's vision for his life could come to fruition.
Amen. That's right.
Let's look at Genesis chapter 39, verses 2 through 4. Genesis 39, 2 through 4. The Lord was with Joseph. Now, brothers and sisters, I want you to get this into your heart, because this theme comes up over and over and over again in the story of Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. When the vision came, the Lord was with Joseph. When slavery came, the Lord was with Joseph.
Hallelujah.
When imprisonment came, the Lord was with Joseph.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
When freedom and deliverance came, the Lord was with Joseph. Amen. Do you get the picture?
Yes.
So, back to the scripture, verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. This pleased Potiphar, so he soon made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. Brothers and sisters, even this idol-worshipping Egyptian Potiphar could see that God's hand was on Joseph's life.
Amen.
When you're in difficult circumstances and God seems far away and it seems like he doesn't care, I want you to remember that his hand is still on your life and that he will never leave you and forsake you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Be patient.
Thank you, Lord.
Remain faithful.
Yes.
And trust him.
Yes.
Now, just when it seems like things might be looking up a little bit for Joseph, his life takes a turn for the worse. Potiphar's wife takes a liking to Joseph, and she tries to seduce him. But as tempted as he might have been, Joseph decided to remain faithful to God. Here's what Joseph said to her in Genesis chapter 39, verses 8 and 9. Genesis 39, 8 and 9. But Joseph refused. "Look," he told her, "my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. He has held back nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God." I believe that Joseph said this because he remembered the vision that God had given him, that he would someday be a great ruler, and he realized that he needed to keep his eyes on that prize and remain faithful to God if the vision was ever going to be fulfilled. So Joseph turned down the advances of Potiphar's wife, but in a rage, she accused Joseph of trying to rape her, and Joseph's situation went from bad to worse. He went from being a slave to being a prison inmate. Brothers and sisters, while you're waiting for God to fulfill his vision for your life, and he will, remain faithful to him. Don't turn to the left or to the right. In the comic that I showed you at the beginning of this message, little Billy got off course on his way to the mailbox. He lost sight of the goal, and as a result, he didn't accomplish the task his mother had given him to do. Now, we all get off the path sometimes. But praise God, love covers a multitude of sins.
Amen.
And we serve a
yes.
loving and a forgiving God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And in spite of our missteps and our mistakes, if we'll just trust him and remain faithful to him, even in the most trying circumstances, he can still make all things work together for good in our life and the lives of those around
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
The Bible tells us that Joseph was 17 years old when he was sold into slavery. And he was 30 when he was finally and suddenly released from prison. It doesn't tell us how long Joseph was in prison, but it could have been for the better part of that 13-year period. And yet, even after all that time in slavery and imprisonment, after Joseph was finally released from prison, this is what Pharaoh saw in his life and had to say about him. In Genesis 41, verse 38. Genesis 41, 38. After 13 years of slavery and imprisonment, Pharaoh looks at Joseph and says, "Can we find anyone else like this man, so obviously filled with the Spirit of God?"
Hallelujah.
Wow.
As a result of Joseph's faithfulness to God, Pharaoh made him second in command of all Egypt. Brothers and sisters, make sure that you always keep your spiritual batteries charged and keep oil in your lamps, even in the most difficult circumstances, so that when the time is right and God decides to move, you will be ready. He's your glory and the lifter of your head. Stay filled with the Spirit of God. Don't be like the foolish virgins who fell asleep while waiting for the bridegroom and allowed the oil in their lamps to run out. When God says move, we need to be ready.
Amen.
Joseph understood very well that his entire life was being guided by God and that God had a purpose for his life. There was never any doubt in Joseph's mind that everything that happened to him, both good and bad, was part of God's plan. And I think that made it easier for Joseph to cope with some of the bad things that had happened to him. And when the time was right, God revealed the purpose behind the vision. That Joseph was given authority so that he could have enough food set aside to feed the entire nation of Egypt as well as his own family during the 7-year-long famine that was coming. And during that famine, when Joseph finally came face to face with his brothers once again after 20 years, this is what he said to them in Genesis 45, verses 7 and 8. After years and years of slavery and imprisonment, this is what Joseph had to say. God has sent me ahead of you to keep you and your families alive and to preserve many survivors. So it was God who sent me here, not you. And He is the one who made me an advisor to Pharaoh, the manager of his entire palace, and the governor of all Egypt. Let's look at another scripture, Genesis 50, verse 20, where Joseph says this to his brothers. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. He brought me to this position so that I could save the lives of many people. What a wonderful perspective on life. What a beautiful perspective on life. One I think that we should all have. Brothers and sisters, you may be going through some good times right now, or you may be going through some really rough times. But regardless of what you're going through, please know that God loves you. He is with you. He's got a plan for your life. He's got a future and a hope for you, and He's not going to leave you or forsake you.
Hallelujah.
Just trust Him. Don't depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in everything you do, and He will direct your paths. And His purpose will be fulfilled in your life and in the lives of those around you.
Thank you, Lord.
Before I turn the service back over to Brother Jerry, I'd like to close by reading from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 28 through 31. Romans 8, 28 through 31. Very familiar scripture, but I think it does no harm for us to be reminded from time to time of what God says to us. And as I read, I want you to pay attention to these words and take hold of this promise. Let these words sink deep down into your spirit. God wrote these words 2,000 years ago because He knew you needed to hear them today.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Verse 28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. For God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son, so that His Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, He called them to come to Him. And having called them, He gave them right standing with Himself. And having given them right standing, He gave them His glory.
Praise God.
Amen.
What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us?
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you that you have known us from our mother's wombs. You know our every step. You know when we go out, and you know when we come in. You know when we lie down and when we rise up. You are the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the author and finisher of our faith. As we go forth from here, let us go in confidence and boldness, knowing that you are always with us and always at work in our lives. And in return, Heavenly Father, may we always trust you, acknowledge you in all our ways, and allow you to direct our paths.
Hallelujah.
And it's in the wonderful name of Jesus that we pray these things. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Jerry.
Hallelujah. Thank
Hallelujah.
You, Lord.
Thank you. Amen. God is for you.
Who can be against you?
Who can be against
you? Amen.
Wow. What a way to finish that message.
Amen.
If God is for you, who can be against you?
Amen.
They don't count.
And this old preacher says, God is for you.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Oh, God.
Thank you for it.
If I've learned anything, I know that.
Amen.
Wow. Great message, brother.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
That was my, am I not on?
Yeah, now I'm on.
I used to be like Billy.
I believe it.
I was everywhere all the time. Some of you were too. God didn't leave us when we were places that we didn't belong. He was still with us.
Yes, he was.
Because he still is.
All the time. Thank you all for being here today.
Yes. Praise God.
Lord, we just thank you for this message. We can be assured that you're with us all the time. I just want
to
give you Diane and be with her. I ask you to be with her in the morning.
Hallelujah.
This surgery.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, when they touch our eyes, it's a scary thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Watch over the surgery.
But Lord, if you're with Diane, everything. Who can be against her?
Perfect everything, God, that
who can be against
her?
Her? No one.
You,
Jesus, protect her. Keep her. Let this be a great, successful surgery. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for being with all of us.
Yes.
We give you the praise and glory that we can gather openly.
Thank you.
That we can choose to come here. We can choose to worship you. And Lord, as we worship you, let us remember that you're for us. So it doesn't matter who's against us.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
You're for us, Lord. And you have a plan for us.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I love y'all. God bless you.
Amen.